Hello, welcome to the Pew and Woodings Comedy Roundabout podcast, the first ever episode. Thanks very much for downloading it. That's very kind of you. This is just an introduction to the show. Me just doing a bit of a precursor, introducing Stu Woodings. Wow, Stu Woodings, what can I say? A really fascinating chat with Stu, this one. He really sort of opens up. Very layered, very complex personality. A bedwetter, well into his 20s. Stu sort of really talked about what prompted him to start comedy. He's talked about some of the dreams he's having involving famous racehorses. Some really sort of harrowing stuff there. And he touches on some Freudian stuff as well from his early teens. And for the first time, question marks about his sexuality. Questions are thrown up. So Stu's actually asked that we don't broadcast any of that. But we really hope you enjoy what's left. Thanks for downloading. If you want to get in touch with the show, we've got a Twitter called Comedy Roundabout. Find that. Here's the show. Thank you. Stu got in touch with me about 3 months ago saying, do you want to do a podcast? I was like, yeah, what's your ideas? What's your concept? He said, well, he's got the equipment.
You can't underestimate having quality equipment. I know a lot of people out there, they've got all the content, but it's poorly recorded.
Absolutely. Well, you say that, so you didn't actually have the equipment we needed. You had to order something, didn't you? It's been postponed several times. You might not know this about Stu, ladies and gentlemen, but he is actually a former martial artists, is that right, Stu? Current, actually. It never leaves you, does it, in a way?
I was going to say slightly inaccurate, Josh. I'm always a martial artist.
Okay. So what I thought we could maybe do, we could maybe give you a scenario.
Right.
And you can sort of help the listeners if they find themselves in this situation.
Okay. Sure.
Okay, so...
Let me just tell you, I am a little bit rusty. I've not even renewed my licence.
Well, we'll see. Maybe this could sort of... Consider this as CPD.
Okay.
Put this towards your CPD for the year. You're at an ATM. You're taking the wife out. It's a Saturday night. It's a special occasion.
You say taking her out, do you mean as in...
Look, you're taking her out for a meal. It's a special occasion. Okay. It's a wedding anniversary. You're going to an Indian restaurant.
Okay.
You're taking your own beer.
Right.
It's fully licensed, but you're a pretty frugal man. You're at the ATM and... you're taking out £20. Special occasion. You can hear some utes behind you.
Right.
And they start shouting at you, oi, bum boy.
Right, okay. That's how it starts, is it?
That's how it starts.
First of all...
Oh, prick. You need to respond.
Okay. Well, the first thing I'll say to any listeners out there is it's an old adage, but it's one that I still stick by. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. So
They're sort of saying your comedy's shit. You can't play the guitar.
Okay. Well,
they're very personal. I don't know how they sort of know this information. Maybe they've been to one of your gigs. You're not funny, mate, they're shouting.
Okay, we see now they've crossed a line. Now, what I always say to people is the best form of defence is a bloody good pair of trainers. But seriously, car keys targeting the throat and eyes is also a really good form of attack.
Oh, you say that, Stu, but you've actually recently purchased a BMW 3 Series, am I right?
Absolutely.
Does that take a key or is it just a little electronic clicker?
It does have the option of a key in the driver's side, but for me, I just use the electronic clicker.
So that's going to be pretty ineffective as a form of defence.
It is. So already, what I'm thinking is, the first thing you got to do, you need to take good stock of your surroundings.
Okay.
Space management.
So now, as your sort of trainer, you've come in here, Stu's actually sitting closer to the exit than I am. Is that a strategic thing?
Absolutely. So you'll notice my back is facing the corner of the room.
Yeah. I'm not, that makes it sound gay, like you don't trust me to...
I'm a martial artist, Josh.
You're always thinking, aren't you? Always. So you sort of all the time, you're sort of surveying the area.
Can't turn it off.
You can't, can you?
Can't turn it off. Okay, let me just try something. I'm going to close my eyes, right? And I can tell you, in that corner of the room is a lamp.
Well, yeah.
Am I right?
You are right.
I'm right, aren't I?
Okay.
Am I right? Over there, there's a stool.
There is a stool.
Pictures, mirror.
Yeah.
See, this might not sound very impressive because Stu obviously has been here with his eyes open for 45 minutes. But the amount of equipment he's brought, we have actually rearranged the entire house. So it's actually a better feat than it sounds, really. That's pretty impressive, Stu. So you're at the ATM. You're thinking, right. But your wife's in the car, so you're going to leave her because she's expecting the night out.
She's in the car. Okay. Well, that
you've got a babysitter.
That changes things because now I don't have to worry about looking after another person. Now, okay. Flight actually becomes a realistic possibility.
Okay.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to try and find an exit strategy that runs past the vehicle she's in so I can do the lock-in gesture with my hand while still running.
Okay.
That way, the attackers can't get into the vehicle that she's in.
Good.
And I don't have to stop.
That's pretty good. But you're quite an older guy.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
These are young lads.
Right.
You've got the guitar with you as well. Sarah asked you not to bring it, but you're carrying that. So you're really weighed down. So you can't actually escape, Stu. What would you do?
Okay. Well, you see, my guitar is a musical. When you see a guitar, what do you see? You see a.
Music.
A musical instrument, don't you?
Loosely.
I see a potential weapon.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the first thing I'll do is I'll take the guitar out of its case and I'll say to them, look, I'm a musician. Please don't hit me.
Okay. But no, these lads, honestly, they're intent on violence. You can only pacify it for so long. They're intent on violence.
How many of them are there?
There's three lads. A mixture of background as well. Let's not make any assumptions. There's one black guy, one white guy, and an Asian guy.
Right, okay. Okay, so
one's gay as well. We need to cover all demographics. You know, everybody's. Let's not make any assumptions about who's committing crimes.
Are you saying that I could be knocked out and I could be at the mercy of these assailants, one of whom is is?
That's what I'm saying, Steve.
Right,
yeah, that's what I'm saying.
There's quite a few variables. I'm planning them, so I've got no exit strategy. My guitar probably isn't going to help me. I am going to have to engage in combat. At this point,
physically, yeah,
physical combat. So what I'll do is I'll try and target the ringleader.
Is that a euphemism for the?
Literally, the person
the
who seems
the
to
group.
Be the antagonist.
Okay, yeah.
He'll usually be the biggest of them all.
Okay.
Probably wearing a tartan shirt. I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay.
And he will be the target of my wrath.
I'd say you're sort of targeting him.
Yep.
And is it face? Is it
no?
It's not face.
No. What I do is...
Are you taking... I hope listeners are taking notes here.
Have you ever heard of Dim Mac?
Dim Mac? Is it a man?
Touch of Death.
Wow. No, I haven't heard of this.
So all I'd do...
Can we say this? Is this legal? I don't want people doing this on it.
You're right, Josh. Like I said earlier, I haven't actually got my licence through again.
So this is unsolicited. We should say that, shouldn't we, really, if people are going to be...
You're absolutely right. Maybe I'm saying too much. Maybe I should back away from this a little bit.
Is there like a magic circle in martial arts? You know, you can't really give the secrets away.
There absolutely is. Yeah, there absolutely
but
is.
But as you say, you're not signed up to that at all, yeah?
No. And a lot of us, we tend to meet one another through the dark net, which probably, we use Tor and something like that.
Okay.
And that's how we tend to meet one another. You know, we're all like-minded. A lot of like-minded people, you know. Some of us have got histories. Some of us have got pasts we're not proud of, you know.
Yeah, well, we've sort of covered that in the introduction. Don't worry about the introduction. I've pre-recorded that, so that'll just go on.
Well, I was going to say, do we not need to do that?
I've just done something, just sort of...
Oh, right, okay, brilliant.
Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, that's done. It's not safe for your job, you know, carrying all this kit around you. One thing off your mind. So then that's on there. That's fine.
So what sort of stuff's in that then?
Just welcome to the show.
Right.
Yeah, just...
okay.
Just really teed it up nicely for
right.
you.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Okay. So that was my Edinburgh. It was a disaster. have I put to bed the martial art thing?
Well, I think we sort of had to cut it a bit short, really, because it was getting...
I don't want to get in trouble.
Yeah, you know, like... Like Grand Theft Auto always gets blamed for violent crimes and drug use.
Yeah,
I don't want that. I don't want this podcast to be targeted as the cause of violence and.
That's very wise.
Yeah, so we'll cut that short. Yeah, but I'm glad you enjoyed your holiday at least. I mean, Edinburgh sounded a complete disaster.
It was a disaster, and it did make me worry about my own faculties to make such a blunder. but if I can ask you the same question, so you went up to Edinburgh, you did your first show.
Yeah, well, I did like a showcase, or like emceed it, compared it, and it like introduced acts. It was okay. It was quite. It's a roller coaster, you know. I don't think I'm ready to do it for a while. Maybe not next year, anyway.
But
well, it's good. I saw loads of good shows, and you think, God, what am I doing? This is utter tripe. The stuff I'm coming out
with. So what were the standout? What were the standout shows?
The shows. I mean, this is completely pointless because it's the Edinburgh's done and dusted, so yeah. You can't actually see these. But
no.
I really liked Mike Wozniak. Show.
Oh yeah,
is he in Plebs? That guy.
I know the name.
He's like a bit.
Is he the Mancunian fella?
No, he's from Devon.
Right.
So yeah, he was really good. Debut show, Jordan Brooks.
Oh okay.
That's at the Community Project. That was really good. It's like an actual. In Edinburgh, I like shows that are a show. Do you know what I mean? You see so much stand up and things. I like to see
like something thematic.
Yeah, a bit of a theme to it. Having said that. My girlfriend Lucinda, she sort of took me along to a couple of things. A musical called Lovebirds. It was
a musical comedy or just an out and out musical?
It's just an out and out musical, to be honest. I let her choose one thing. She'd just been there. It's been like an hour. Straight to the paid fringe. Straight. No interest in the fringe stuff. God, no. Lovebirds musical. £21 for two tickets.
Wow.
Yeah. Absolutely. But it's good. It's like this is not gonna I'm probably not doing it justice here, but it's like there's a couple of guys dressed up as parrots and then another group dressed up as penguins.
Okay.
And then they just
sort of 10.50 each, is it?
£10.50 each, yeah. A lot of the budget had gone on sort of coloured tissue paper for the parrots' wings and stuff.
Right.
And it's just an hour of singing. Really?
Okay.
But it was actually quite good.
But that was worthy of being mentioned on the podcast, so you must have enjoyed it.
You know what? It was okay, actually.
Right.
It was
okay. No, that's good.
I also went... She also took me to a... It was a show called... I've got to remember this. It's called Smother. I've been calling it Sniffer.
Right.
Which is... That isn't a show. No. It's called Smother. It's basically, it's about... homosexual relationships told through the medium of hip hop and contemporary dance.
Wow.
So just let that sink in for a minute. But it was absolutely fantastic. It's nothing I never would have chose to have seen off my own back. But okay. It was really good.
Was this one person or was it multiple people?
No, it was like
an ensemble.
It was like a group of six.
Oh, right, okay.
And yeah, it's actually really good. And dance is a genre. I'm going to seek more stuff out.
Okay. Okay. In a comedy capacity, or literally dance for dance sake.
Literally dance. Like I really enjoyed it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
I must admit, I'm not too au fait with dance. When I think of sort of classical dance, I think of a fella in tights doing ballet. Yeah. And when I think of modern contemporary dance, I sort of think of like one of these 80s hip hop movies where they're sort of like having a dance off.
Yeah.
So I don't really have much of an understanding of dance grammar.
Yeah, I think I'm not sure whether 80s is actually considered contemporary now, Steve, when it's in sort of 2015. I don't know. I've seen one show and it was great. I would see some dance again. it was great. Yeah, it was good.
So one thing I was quite jealous of everybody who went up to Edinburgh. One show that kept coming up was something called the Cane Toad, something like the Cane Toad Theory. Does that ring any bells?
No, not a clue.
No,
what you're
right, okay.
On about. Kept coming up though.
A few people mentioned it as a bit of a standout show.
Is it comedy? Is it what was it?
It's a comedy. It's an Australian fella, and I think this Cane Toad. It's something to do with like some non-indigenous species that was introduced to Australia and killed off a load of other things. Anyway, for some reason, that was the name of his show.
Okay.
And I think it was all to do with his sort of struggles with childhood and growing up and his later life, all that sort of stuff.
Where does a toad come in? I'm struggling to.
I don't know what the relevance of the toad bit is, although I did read somewhere.
So I'm just at the minute, it sounds dreadful.
Yeah. He does. He does. I don't think the toad is in any way part of the narrative.
Okay.
I think...
Just because the name, you know, he's obviously got... Sniffer.
You're
right. Sniffer, you know what you're getting.
You do. I think any time. Smother. Any time. I mean, even if it had been Frog, it might have been all right.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't catch that one, Steve. I've got to be honest with
you. No, that's fine. That's absolutely
fine.
I did.
I had a little competition when I was up there.
Yeah.
I had my So You Think You're Funny heat.
Yes, you did.
It was good. Kate Copstick was in the crowd.
Oh, crikey. Wow.
Yeah, it's good. The final, so I was in the semi-final. The final was actually the week after when I was in Mexico. Didn't get through, but, you know,
right.
Conspiracy theorists probably thinking, Josh, did you? Did you throw the semi-final? I couldn't possibly say. Maybe I did. Maybe I didn't. It's impossible to. It was a lot of fun. But
no, that's really. I heard some really good things about that, and I had to look it up on the internet. Something there. What was it called? Now, I'm going to say this wrong. I know I am. Applause break.
There was the people were clapping, Stu, when I was saying the jokes.
Right.
And then when I finished saying the jokes, people were sort of applauding them.
Wow.
So it's just didn't get through. You know, didn't get through. So maybe people don't want applause. I don't know. Maybe that's not what. Maybe the judges aren't looking for applause. I don't know. You don't know what they're looking for.
I think sometimes it's seen as vulgar, isn't it? When a comic gets applause.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. And also, it was an 8-minute set. Two applause breaks. That's probably eating sort of 40 seconds in.
Right.
So that. And this is sort of your approach to. I really sort of like what you're doing. What you'll do is you'll sort of avoid laughter and applause at all, just so you can keep getting the material out. Because the thing is, laughter, it does eat into your time, doesn't it? When you're only sort of doing 5-10 minutes.
I don't need it.
Absolutely. No, I mean, there's no content in it, is there?
It's, you know, the material is there to be absorbed. If people are laughing, they're not listening.
Absolutely. And so I think, yeah, but it was good. But I went on holiday the week after, and that was even...
Well, you're still sporting a tan. You're looking very healthy.
Yeah, I've been moisturising, Stu, you see. It's good, but I've moisturised. I'm very top-heavy with my moisturiser.
Right.
I've got a bunch
of... Pale legs.
I moisturise my top half, and I'm sort of a bit bored by the time I get to the bottom.
Right.
So I'm sort of very glossy up top, and then matte finish
You're
the
kind
bottom.
Of two-tone.
Two-tone, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, it's all right, you don't have to take your trousers off. That's absolutely
okay,
fine.
Fair enough.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, it's like... It's like, you know, the photograph paper you print stuff out on.
Yeah.
One side's really shiny, glossy. The other side's just like a plain finish. That's like my top and bottom half.
Right. I've got you. Well, of course, I went away that same weekend. Or roughly the same sort of time. Were you out there for 2 weeks? Or?
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Yeah, I was out there. I was in Portugal for...
what was that accent?
Portugal.
Okay.
For a week. And my tan lasted about 3 days. I tried to use a combination of shea butter and coconut oil when showering once I'd return. Okay. But I just got bored of the process.
Absolutely. The thing is, when you... do you peel? First day, I don't know what I was doing. First day, I put loads of... started on 30. Like 30, yep. Factor 30. But like, I was burning under my armpits and that. Like that.
Right. Oh,
I really smothered it. Again, I'm getting bored. I start off at the top.
Yeah.
And like, I was well protected up top. Down low, I'm just raw.
Right. Okay. Well, I went in with a 50. So I went in sort of like a military operation.
Yeah.
For the first day.
Is that a prescription?
Then your 50. You know, you can pick your 50
over the counter.
In fact, I think over here most are 50s.
You know,
it's like pancake batter.
So, I think GPs must be. You know, 7 years training it to be a GP, and then prescribing suntan lotion.
I know.
Can we just get that over the counter? That's, you know, I mean, people say NHS waiting times. These ginger people going in to get factor 60. Just get it over the, counter, or don't go at all. Don't go on holiday if you can't. You know what I mean? If you can't handle it.
I think if you're ginger or fair skinned or prone to burning, you're taking an unnecessary risk.
Absolutely. Just stay at home.
But then I backed off, back down to your 30. Before you know it, I was on your tens. Last couple of days, I was on your tens.
I went in with an oil last 5 days.
You did, you?
Yeah, went oil. It was good. It rained anyway, so.
Right.
It was this thing, because I went to Mexico. It was absolutely brilliant. Look, but there is lots of thunderstorms at night.
Yeah.
And then in the daytime, it's red hot.
Acapulco, wasn't it?
It was a place called Puerto Vallarta.
What accent was that?
it was a Mexican accident, a Mexican accent, but they've been taught by an American.
That was quite a nuanced impression then.
Yeah, absolutely. Right, very regional. I'm sure the listeners in Puerto Vallarta would really sort of appreciate that. Hello to Julien, if you're out there. Hi, Julien. It was great. I played a game of water volleyball against some Americans.
Oh, right. How did that go?
Wow, it was... They really racked up the intensity in the second set. Absolutely. So they took
a lot of high fiving.
A lot of high fiving. A lot of trash talking, actually, on their part. Yeah. I was referred to as a no gamer.
A no gamer.
No gamer. No idea what that means. But
okay. Wow. Yeah. Did you get called anything like a jerk off or an asshole?
No, I didn't actually say. They sound quite negative terms. I think. I think no gamer. I think they're sort of throwing compliments my way.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I think that's okay.
What it was. But it was really good. There was an American couple, and they actually left after the second set in protest
because you were thrashing them.
Well, we had an English guy on our team called Martin.
Yeah,
and honestly, he was like an octopus. He was in the middle. It was absolutely fantastic. It was hitting everything. He was like pushing kids out the way, slamming it down. To be honest, I could see why the Americans were getting a bit disgruntled. To be honest. Yeah, and he was, you know, one of these people, and you're going, oh, he's in every activity. And he's like in his 40s. One minute he's zumbering, next minute he's playing beach volleyball. He's on stage every night, some kind of game. But
was he with the family?
With the family, yeah. The family actually invited us down to their son's 21st.
Oh, right.
Yeah, so we got caught. I can't go. I'm going to a concert, but it's a nice one, wasn't it?
Oh, right, okay. That's lovely.
Yeah,
That's really nice. Just being nosy, what concert are you off to?
I'm going to see Paul Weller on the 27th of November. I've also got a gig that day as well, which that's going to be pulling out of that one. But
superb. Do you need to tell anyone on the podcast now, the promoter that might be listening to you?
Yeah, it's actually a guy called Sal Manello, down in Bristol. Sal, hello. I'm not going to be able to make it, mate. I've got a guy, I could probably replace myself with a guy called Stu Woodins, musical act.
Hi, Sal.
Should we give you, we won't give you address out, we won't give you phone number out on the podcast, Stu, but I'll put this in an email, Sal. Okay, mate. Regards. Thank you. I think that'll cover it, won't it?
I think you're all right now. Yeah.
I'm a...
Yeah. Well, that's the thing with these podcasts. You don't know where they end up, do you?
Absolutely not. So, we mentioned Toad Radio earlier, so didn't we? Sort of give them a mention.
We did, yeah.
Lucy Thompson, Thomas Rackham.
Yeah.
Hi, guys.
Yeah, two great fellow comics.
Great, is a... Up-and-comers, aren't they? Like ourselves, too.
The triers.
Absolutely. Lucy is very trying at times.
Yeah.
No, they're possibly, you should give that a listen. Just if anything, to compare the sound quality, because this is the setup we've got here, Stu. It's going to be difficult to compete against.
Yeah, it's not going to sound like this, Josh.
No, absolutely not. I mean, I'm not. We shouldn't really say, but I was listening to Tom and Lucy's podcast from Edinburgh, recording the pub, Stu.
So what you can hear?
If we went in,
bells
the
ringing for last orders.
Absolutely.
Background chatter.
Yeah. There's a darts meeting going on.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, if we took this gear into a pub,
yeah,
we'd probably be beat up, actually.
Well, we'd probably get beat up. Let me put it in perspective. We could put this on a busy tube and all you'd hear are our voices. We're talking a grand's worth of kit here, Josh.
I can see. Money well spent as well for this. This is what we're churning out.
Absolutely.
Here. It's a snip, isn't it, really, if you think that the quality we're putting out. I'm just going to... got to get up from my seat a moment. You might be able to hear a beeping on the podcast. But I think these mics, they should be picking that up. £1,000, they should be picking up next door's bloody conversations.
Well, the beauty of such a quality mic is it will only pick up what's pointing at it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So actually, I've got to hold this for the whole hour.
Yeah.
It's inconvenient for anything, isn't it?
And it looks a bit weird. It's like we're both doing stand-up at each other.
It is, actually, yeah. Because you might be... So they can't hear a beeping, so I don't need to get up.
They won't hear that at all. Okay. I'll be really surprised.
Because there's a beeping going on in the room. It's my girlfriend's getting emails. I'm assuming it's... Will they pick that up?
They'll pick it up on my mic. I've just realised mine's different.
So I do need to turn it off, okay.
Yeah, I think that might be worth doing, yeah.
You know, I can't stand... I'm taking the mic with me, so we're not actually losing any of this gold. No, I can't find a phone. Oh, it's on charge.
This is great. This is like Gonzo podcasting. It's So yeah,
I put it onto silent, so we'll just be picking up the vibrations now. So that's slightly easier on the ears. You know these podcasts, do you know? I don't understand. People are eating snacks during a podcast.
It's no etiquette, isn't it?
I mean, it's 45 minutes. Just stop eating for 45 minutes.
You'd have thought so. I'll go one further. A podcast where the person gets up to go to the toilet.
I mean, come on.
There's no need for that. I'd like to just dive back.
But if you do need the toilets to do, please, honestly, don't feel you've got to make yourself uncomfortable.
I really need the toilet, Josh. But I can hold it.
Yeah, well,
I'm professional.
It. Yeah,
I'm professional.
Absolutely.
I'd like to go back to your Paul Weller, if I may.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I saw the Well Man some years ago, about 10 years ago. And I was very impressed. And his dad used to actually come out and check the stadium. You'd see him have a little look round, have a look at everyone, because I think his dad is his manager.
Oh, okay.
Although he's probably dead now, because he was quite old back then. So are you the Weller fan, or is it?
Yeah, no, it's very much me. It's a birthday present for me. I've seen him before. I've seen him at a festival called Gilfest when I was like 15. My friend was in a band, and they were playing at Gilfest. So he said, "Oh, do you want to come down, get support me?" So I travelled down in the minibus.
Yeah.
Rock and roll. When I got there, I found out Paul Weller was on. Left, and went and seen Paul Weller. Got back on the bus and had to lie to my friend and said what a great set he did.
So you're not actually that interested
in the guy's music?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely not. It was god awful, Stu. Right. It's uncomfortable to listen to.
Okay.
But yeah, it was amazing then. So he's got a new album out which I haven't heard. Should stop bringing out new albums, to be honest, shouldn't they? People just want the gold, don't they?
Yeah.
It's like your material. People, when you get on stage, they don't want to hear any of the new jokes. They don't want to see any experimental stuff.
Absolutely, yeah.
Give us the gold.
That's all they want. That's all they want. And, you know, that's okay, but, you know, when I start doing TV work, it eats into your gold.
That's the thing.
So you've got to be able to keep producing.
Yeah, absolutely. If I'm thinking about taking my dad actually to some gigs and get him to go out first and check everything's okay before I go on. I think he'll be up for that. I did a gig in the garden centre last night. We'd love that.
Tell me about your gig in the garden centre. Does that work? How does that come about?
Well,
how does it work?
I did a gig, and the promoter seen me, and he saw what I did. Thought this will work great in a garden centre.
Right.
Come down.
So where was the stage? I mean, have you got like lawnmowers and stuff?
I was literally on some decking, Stu.
Wow. And this was decking, which is like sort of demo decking.
It was in, there's like a cafe at the garden centre, but it was literally decking.
Wow.
I was literally stood on some decking.
And the audience on
the
garden
furniture.
I get
really bad hay fever as well, so it's I sort of dozed up on Pivoton before I went in. I was all over the place.
But was the green room a greenhouse or something like that?
It was.
Did they make use of all the facilities?
Well, what it was, it's like a big, it sounds like a bit like your secret cinema actually. It's like a big factory thing, a big unit, and then you go in. You've got your standard stuff, you've got your cards, you've got your Christmas decks already, and then you sort of go round to the side, and there's a cafe, big long cafe, and a conservatory, some decking, microphone, although they had an incredible music system in there.
Oh, right.
You can imagine, like a garden centre crowd, a bit older, some older ladies.
Okay.
Some of them might take your fancy, actually, Stu. Some older.
Okay.
Not that old. Well, anyway, so, and then it was quite good, and then but the music they were playing in the interval, it was like Flo Rida,
right?
Yeah, all of them, Flo Riders, Ludacris.
Oh right, okay.
All the rap stars, yeah. But it's actually really nice,
right? That sounds fun. Is it like a regular event then? Do they normally do it in that?
Was a tryout, Stu, and I think, you know.
Right.
I'll be very surprised if they don't carry it on after last night.
Okay,
oh yeah,
got you.
So it was really nice. They brought cake out as well.
Oh right.
Yeah, you had to pay for it, but I didn't have any.
So was there some sort of green room?
No, I sat at the side, to be honest. Just waited.
Now at this point, I'd like to explore some of your comedy heroes. I'm going to ask you a few things about comedy. I remember once. Going on to you've changed it since, but I remember going on to your comedy CV, and you had people.
A bit weird. What were you going on there?
Well, I just wanted to you know, copy it for mine.
Okay.
And there were things on there. There was I think you had there was Brown, Manning, Jethro.
Yeah.
I mean, are they still? But then
Davidson.
You updated it. Obvs.
Davidson.
Are they still heroes or?
Absolutely. I think there's still some comics around like that. You know, I think you don't really get to see them where we do the gigs, but I think there's still. I did a gig quite recently, actually, and there was some racial stuff going down there.
Really?
Absolutely, yeah. And the crowd are actually enjoying it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Was it like some sort of social welfare-y type?
No, it was a pub, and they just got on board with a bit of racism.
Wow.
Which...
Someone told me that there's another circuit, and this other circuit, which, you know, sort of exists at the same time as ours.
Like a parallel.
A circuit. Parallel circuit, you might call it. It does cater for that kind of old school, use the same sort of jokes.
Yeah, it's like after dinner speakers and stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, the thought of you getting up after I'm just having a lovely roast stew.
Yeah. Really off,
good God, I mean, that would really... You know, seriously, you had a nice... It's usually like a corporate, isn't it? Like you've worked all year, it's a Christmas event, dinner, next thing, please welcome Stu Woodins. Good God.
I'll be honest. I never thought this sentence had come out of my mouth, but I think my comedy would aid digestion.
Really?
Yeah.
In what's just sort of soothed it down?
I think people, it's quite nice.
Get the bowels moving.
Listening. Doesn't really offend anyone.
Yeah, get the bowels moving.
Doesn't interest anyone, but no, that's absolutely deliberate.
Yeah. Sort of background comedy, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like
kind
Muzak,
of comedy. Yeah. But the kind of comedy you'd hear in an elevator.
Exactly.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that's what I'm going for.
Yeah, just sort
because of... Because elevator, you know, whoever writes that music, just imagine how much he's earning.
I could imagine yourself being massaged to your music, Stu, to your comedy.
To my comedy, yeah.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
It. Yeah. And if someone ever said, what's your favourite bit? You'd be like, I've no idea.
It's just sort of just drifted. Just I didn't know where one started and the other one finished. One joke started.
Yeah.
And I definitely think there's a place for that. Absolutely. Sort of reflexology.
Absolutely.
You could incorporate that, Stu. That's an Edinburgh show.
Anytime
you doing a set, I'll do the massages.
Anytime you could do an activity that's complemented by the inclusion of humpback whale sounds, you can replace that humpback whale with a recording of my set. And the two they're interchangeable.
Absolutely.
Me and Jostics.
Having said that, humpback whales, they could not... I mean, if you sort of did that set to one of them,
they
just wouldn't... No.
No, it wouldn't...
It wouldn't translate to the marine world at all.
It wouldn't, but here's a bit of trivia for you about the whale. A lot of people think it's a fish. It's actually a mammal.
Wow. It's just... I actually intended this podcast to be quite a comical, light-hearted thing, but the facts we're dishing out here, Stu, it's...
Comedy bombs.
I mean, this equipment's paying for itself, really, anyway, this kind of... we're educating. Wait, educating.
So, going back to your two questions. First question, who's your comedy hero?
I am a big fan, Stu, of Harry Hill.
Is he really?
And obviously my generation is probably Ricky Gervais, isn't it? Because
and my generation.
Well, obviously you've got the Tommy Cooper and others and yeah, a lot of your generation is sort of more early Motown, isn't it, rather than comedy.
So Harry Hill.
Harry Hill, he's great. I like the fact he sort of struggled at the start and people weren't getting it. And I'd like to think that's the phase we're in at the moment, Stu. I think there's a diamond in the rough, if you were.
I've got a lot of respect for comics that can sort of stick to something even when it's clearly not working.
Absolutely, yeah. And he's one of my heroes. That's a question you get asked quite a lot, actually. Who's your comedy heroes? Go on.
I was going to say. So I said two questions.
Yeah.
My second question. So that's your comedy hero. That's someone. Do you aspire to? Are you influenced by him in any way?
Maybe a little bit. I wouldn't say I aspire to, because he...
You don't dress funny.
No, I don't. But he's a doctor as well.
So, well, still a practicing doctor.
That's the thing. He's a comedian, and he could dish out some Factor 60 if he needed to. He'd be a perfect comedy mate, really.
That's amazing.
Especially if you're gigging in the Algarve.
I wonder if there's a scenario where those two skills are ever come into play at the same time. Like, imagine like on a plane where somebody's like choking to death on a fishbone.
Yeah, and they want some gags.
Yeah.
Some jokes.
You know.
You know what I thought? I think I'd abuse it. You know, say if I was like a train conductor.
Yeah.
I'd be putting announcements out saying, oh, is there a doctor on board? Is there a doctor on board? Come to carriage C. Then when he got there, I'd just be like, can you look at this mole for me? What do you think?
Yeah, it would be hard. Yeah, I know exactly.
I'd abuse power, Stu. That's why I try and stay away from situations altogether.
You avoid success.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I think the listeners are sort of
through mediocre material.
Absolutely. Yeah. Sort of low, sort of mid-range comedy. So who's your comedy? What's the second question, first of all?
Let's keep
the focus on me for a moment.
You're absolutely right. So second question. So that was the who's your main comedy hero? Now, who's your comedy hero who listeners may not be so familiar with, or somebody who isn't necessarily famous? It could be a middler.
Are you fishing here, Stu?
And it could be, you know, somebody who's a musical comedian, not necessarily, but probably.
Who's not very well known? There's so many. I mean, I could list Danny Clives. Tom Rackham.
Yeah, great comics.
George Rigdon, musical comedy.
Never heard of him, but
Great. Really plays a good. You know, like when he's actually. Sometimes you get the musical comedians, don't you? And they're actually. I mean, it's not really comedy, is it? It's just music. But George,
well, done badly, I'd agree. Yeah,
Andy Steadman as well. Another musical. He's from London based. Okay. Really good sort of musical comedian, guitarist.
Right.
Yeah, really, really good. Tom Taylor.
Well, another musical one.
Yeah, musical guy. Plays a keyboard.
Right.
Really good.
Oh, plays keyboard.
Plays a keyboard.
Oh,
yeah.
Right, okay.
A proper instrument. Obviously, he can play the piano probably as well.
Okay.
So yeah, they're probably my influencer.
They're the guys that you sort of see on the circuit. The trouble is, now anyone you've not mentioned that you like, you've probably upset.
Oh shit! Okay.
That's fine. But
actually, there's a lad in Leicester, Dan Warbank.
Dan Warbank. I've not heard of a lot of these names. Dan Warbank.
Steve Davidson.
Are you doing that scene from Usual Suspects where you look round the room and you sort of like make up a story by? Are you seeing these names on things on the wall? Marmite Beauty.
Michael Weetabix. He's great. I like him.
I'll definitely have to.
Kath Kitson. She's another one.
Kath Kitson.
Kath Kitson, yeah, she's good.
Right, okay. I saw Barbara. I did a gig with Barbara Nice last week.
Did you?
And I've not seen her before. And you know,
she's brilliant.
Yeah, you know. Well, it's one of those where you know you think, oh, comedy's this, and these are the things that can happen on comedy.
Yeah.
That was totally different to anything I expected.
Really?
I didn't know you could do all those things, like stage dive and get people to carry you across them and.
Yeah, and nudity as well in a set. You just don't associate that with comedy at all, do you?
Not at all. That bit didn't go down so well, but...
Yeah. I mean, it's not a charity night.
To be honest,
I mean,
it looked like a bit of a breakdown.
Yeah, I mean, certainly not at a charity event. You sort of
No.
Can I make a confession here, Stu?
Please do.
I've been asked to do two charity gigs this week.
Oh, wow.
Declined them both, Stu.
You're not interested in putting a bit back?
It's not that. It's not so much that, but it's sort of things are asking me to do, Stu. It's not. I'm not willing to do it.
Okay. Well, can I ask why? What are the charities? Is it you got?
I won't name the charities.
Okay.
Two perfectly credible charities. I'm happy to donate.
Yeah.
Happy to donate. So you know, I'd do a walk for them if they wanted me to do some kind of walk.
Yeah.
But
you object to if they were giving out
free pens.
Yeah.
I'd use one of their pen publicly to raise awareness, but the things they're asking me to do, I mean, they want me to the gig. Well, it's at 8:15.
Right.
They want me there at 7, Stu.
Well, that's a bit out of order.
That's unreasonable, isn't it?
I mean, you know, this is you're already doing them a service by
absolutely. I mean, the dinner's served.
What's the rider?
Well, the dinner's served at 7:15. So.
Wow. Yeah, that they're taking the piss.
I'm not doing it.
No. I don't blame you. I just swore as well. I think that might be the first swear word.
Is that the first swear word?
First thing. So we're We're 43 minutes in. How long does one of these things last?
I don't know. Well, it depends. If you took, because we're probably cutting some of this stuff out, I imagine.
I would have thought so.
You know, that's another thing that gets me.
We'll probably be leaving some of this in.
Yeah, that's another thing that gets me on the podcast.
Yeah.
You know, when people say, "Oh, we'll edit that out."
Yeah.
And then the laugh.
And then you hear it, don't you?
And you hear it. They don't. Yeah. They have not edited it out. Yeah. Actually, saying that, with the setup we've got here, the facilities,
yeah,
we could sort of cut. We could really edit this, couldn't
we?
We
could really do anything with this.
Could you sort of give me any kind of a better accent? My accent's
I can do that. I can absolutely do that. In fact, what I can probably do, even better than that, I can find like a really sort of funny comedian, and I can doctor his accent so it sounds like it's your voice.
Really? And what about, you know, some of their? Could you put some of their content in? Possibly.
It would be So you would. It would be
effectively.
You.
I wouldn't actually be in the podcast at all. Then with the power.
The equipment I have is capable of doing that.
Well, it's an option, isn't it?
I mean, it's, you know, I don't know if it's ethical.
Well, we'll see, so, you know, I might say something funny in the next 10 minutes that you want to keep in, and then there's a continuity issue there, isn't there? If you know, suddenly it starts off you and Frank Skinner doing a podcast, next thing you know, there's my husky tones in there.
Well, that is a possibility. Now, Josh, just sorry to dance between subjects, but some time ago you asked me to write a song, and you said
I can't. You've mentioned this about. I can't remember requesting this at all.
Right. So when you requested it, I thought, well, I'll write one for you. And when these things become quite regular, it'll be I can't wait for Stu's song of the week.
That's,
you
know, what the listeners will be saying, is it?
They'll be saying that, okay. I would imagine.
Yeah.
So I was gonna do it. You know, now's as good a time as any.
I think. Yeah. I mean, you've got the guitar with you, Stu. Always.
You know, I've written it and everything.
I mean, 43 minutes, I think, is sort of really the limit of a podcast, isn't it? People, 43 minutes. That's about the time it takes to commute to work.
It's quite a short song, if I'm being absolutely honest.
It's like, well, do it. 30
seconds.
Do it, and we'll see.
Okay. Is that right? You sure?
Yeah. Do you want to, mate? So what?
Right. Okay. I don't quite know if this will work, and I'll probably get it wrong. So let me just try. Let me just see if she's in tune. Who's female? Right, okay.
Let's give a bit of background here, Stu, because you used to be in a band, didn't you, at one time?
Yes, I was, yeah.
I must say, actually, I've listened to one of Stu's songs. It's actually really, I really enjoyed it, Stu, genuinely.
Oh, thank you.
It's good. It's like a bit of a Strawberry Fields kind of vibe.
Bit psychedelic.
Bit psychedelic,
sort of,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's really, it's good. What happened with the band, Stu? So you were front man, obviously.
I was the singer.
Front man in that, but sort of more of a second wheel, isn't it? More of a sidekick in this podcast, really.
Well,
so it's a bit of a...
You know, I brought the kit though, didn't I? And I think, you know,
yeah,
that's kind of the guts of the podcast.
Absolutely. So yeah, it's like when, you know, the kid on the estate that's got the ball, got the football. Might not be the best footballer, but without him, there's no game, is there? Similar with the band, really.
So I was in this band, and basically we. I was going into one of my bits then.
Yeah, you actually was.
I was.
You caught yourself there as well.
I was in a band, and we were called. Well, I was in two. We were originally called
simultaneously.
The same band, but with two different names.
Oh, okay. One band.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Well, I was actually in two different bands, but the one band I was in had two names. So we were Cactus, and then we were later called Silver Vinyl.
Cactus. Okay.
Wasn't a great name.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't a great
name.
What? Not a great band. It's not.
We you know, it was a learning experience at that point. But yep. Cactus blossomed into Silver Vinyl, and they were good.
Okay.
They were good, and we got a management deal. We did London gigs. I mean, it was you know, it was at the infancy of the internet, of the, you know, social media.
Okay.
But I think if today we were together, I think we'd be the. I genuinely think we'd be the Arctic Monkeys.
So you'd compare yourself to the Arctic Monkeys.
I'm just saying, if we had the media outlets,
the MySpace
that they had,
generation,
exactly.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that's a bold claim by any stretch.
But yeah, so what was the sort of format when you were on the scene? Like vinyl and
we were kind
gramophones
of,
and
we were, you know, it was you know, there were tape still existed.
Okay.
We were, you know, CD.
CD, mini discs.
There was mini disc.
Was there
a mini disc?
Wow.
Yeah.
That was a format that never really took off, did it?
It didn't. Whatever happened to the mini disc? But so I've still got that, and it's nice now to find a new medium for my comedy. So
yeah.
So if I can do this song that I've written for
you. Yeah, sorry, I was delaying there still. I was hoping there's sort of the.
Well, I've just noticed we're running out of time.
I was hoping the batteries were going to go, to be honest. But
so I'm going to get in. Now, I'm not sure what to do with this mic. I don't even know if it will pick anything up.
Well, I've got a condenser in my hand here still. Will this do?
I'm not sure. I don't know if this is. I'll try and put it between my legs like that. And we'll see. We'll see what happens. It's quite political.
Okay. Do you need anything from me on this, Stu? Is this a solo?
If you could join in on the chorus, that'd be great. You'll be able to do it.
Okay.
Fine. It's called the song's called Siri Here.
Is it? I don't get it.
Syria Here.
Syria Here.
Syria.
Okay.
So I hope I don't mess it up. So take one. How's it going? Well, they came. Oh, I'm out of key. Well, they came across the water. Came across the water. Got their documents in order. But the people closed the border. What to do? Now, Cameron, he won't meet them. Cause they ain't like folks from Eden. And them boys in Brussels, well, they ain't got a clue.
Siri here. Join in at home with this. Siri here. Cha-cha-cha. Wow. Well, genuinely,
yeah.
Dylan-esque.
Oh, come on.
No, honestly.
Oh, he's a genius.
Well, there was shades of Dylan there.
Well, you know, your words.
Pete Dylan.
Thank you. Well, thank you. I don't know what the word is, but you look like you were welling up on the chorus.
It touched me, Stu, genuinely. You didn't see, and the podcast's not going to pick this up at all, but some of the facial expressions, Stu was giving everything to that. He really, really was. I mean, that probably didn't come across in the vocals, but facially, it was a show in itself.
I was taught by a music teacher some years ago, you don't play a song, you live it.
Oh, okay. You certainly live that out, is it? Endured as well. How long have we done, Stu? Because
we've done. So we've.
I don't want to give them to you. Can sort
it can,
of.
It could be too much of a good thing.
You can overload on it. This stuff. Can't
we've
you, this
we've
guy?
Got 50. We're at 52 minutes. Believe it or not.
Okay.
We've got. So I think maybe now is a nice natural time to start wrapping things up.
Okay. Absolutely. Well, if people want to get in touch with us, they can, can't they? If they want to get in touch with us.
Yeah.
We've got a Twitter handle. We're currently on 36 followers.
36?
Yeah, and
wow.
I'd say a good 28 of those are genuine accounts as well.
Crikey.
So we're really sort of... And that's wow. At Comedy Roundabout.
I thought we were going for a Radio Ha Ha.
Yeah, I like that better, but I've already set up the Twitter.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
So yeah, it's... in you know, sort of artists that do sort of a song and then in brackets. Can you do that on a podcast title? So, Comedy Roundabout, open brackets, Radio Ha Ha... close brackets.
I like it.
Yeah,
two names.
It's too many characters as well, actually. So just Comedy Roundabout if you want to follow us. Tweet us your questions.
Yeah.
Self-defense questions.
Glad to answer any.
Yeah.
Should have my license by then. So
yeah, fingers crossed. We've actually had a letter straight off the bat, Stu.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's from Ian. It says, "Dear Mr. Pugh, we're contacting you about your outstanding energy payments."
How are you spelling Ian?
E-O-N. Standard spelling.
Okay, so Josh, before we wrap up, have you got any gigs that you'd like to tell people about where they can come and see you?
Oh, I have. Listen, I've got some nice gigs coming up still. On Tuesday, I'm doing the BBC New Comedy Award.
Oh, wow.
And that's at the Glee Club. And we're probably in direct competition. I imagine this will probably take over Radio 2 eventually, so it's sort of a relevant hour doing
that's
that.
That's fantastic.
And then Thursday, I'm doing a gig in Cheltenham for John Wagstaff as part of the Cheltenham Comedy Festival. Saturday, I'm doing another gig in Cheltenham as well. They're going to be a bit fed up with me, though. I'm not really planning
that.
Say,
you're going to sort of flip your material around a little bit.
Possibly. I mean, I've got some things I could do.
Saturation is all.
You can have sort of too much of a good thing. Especially because I imagine they're probably downloading and listening to this.
Well, that's before.
And it's, so what about yourself, Steve? If people want to come and see you.
A few bits coming up.
Where do you work if you want to see you in a working environment?
If you want to come and see me, I work at Rolls-Royce Industrial Estate, which is on Symphon in Derby.
Yeah.
It's quite a rundown area, but you will catch me looking at spreadsheets, if that's your thing.
And so they come to main reception, ask for
Stuart Woodings.
Stuart Woodings.
And for 8 hours, that's really where the comedy happens.
Yeah, so that if you want to sort of catch Stu at his best,
it's between
9 and 5. Stu, do you work?
Nine and five. Well, I'm more 8-4, but
flexible.
I mean, if you like what you see in the evenings, that's me spent.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also, congratulations! You've been nominated for the the Birmingham.
I have, Stu. Yeah, that's really kind. Yeah. We're a couple of award winners actually, still, aren't we? We've not sort of mentioned it until sort of 55 minutes.
I really didn't want to bring this up. A bit embarrassed.
We're recording this at my house because Stu's trophy cabinet's actually quite imposing. You've got it in the living room, Stu, actually, haven't you?
Well,
we had to get rid of the Moses basket, which is a bit of a
one of the rooms knocked through now.
Absolutely. Stu, me and Stu did a competition a while ago for Can Comedy, a sort of up and coming promoters in the Midlands. Check them out.
Great guys.
Yeah, well, here we go. Stu won. Stu actually came first in that competition. I came second. Straight away thinking, making comparisons with Joe McKeldry, Ollie Murs. We'll see how that one went. But Stu won. And I must say, the speech you gave Stu that night.
It came from the heart.
It absolutely did. Came from the heart, indeed. Anyone, Paul and Andy Nightingale, lovely guys. They run Can Comedy. Anyone, the speech Stu gave, anybody would think they've taken him off the streets and raised him from the age of 6, because you were really gushing, Stu, weren't you? Really.
I think it needs to be put in some kind of perspective. I've not won a lot in life. I've not won a lot in life, and that day, I had just turned 40 years of age.
40 years.
So it was a lot of things were sort of what's the word. Consolidating, that's not a good word, is it?
Well,
they kind of come together in that one perfect moment.
That transpired to
and it all came together in that one
40 years in the
moment.
Making that victory, wasn't it?
It was
that Sunday
it was.
Night
that's
in Wednesbury.
And that's what you saw and that's what you got.
And if you'd have died there and then, Stu,
I'd have died happy.
You would have done, and then actually the prize would have probably been passed over to me as runner-up by default.
I would have liked to have at least got him a 3 series one last time, if I'm being dead honest. And well, this is maybe died in the 3 series in some sort of like auto accident.
Yeah, so but central reservation, sort of not. You obviously wouldn't want anybody else involved.
I'd have been happy with that.
Yeah, actually, me too as well. I think that would have been so. But that night, that competition was headlined by Patrick Monaghan, wasn't it?
Stu,
very modestly asked for a picture outside with Pat Monaghan in front of the aforementioned BMW 3 Series.
Absolutely. Again, you know, I haven't won a lot in life, and along with not winning a lot in life, I've not met many famous people. Lenny Henry many years ago. So to meet somebody of his stature, his ilk, I'd have been a fool not to get his photo.
Absolutely. I think the feeling was mutual there. He'd just seen you sort of.
I think he was quite impressed. I think he was more than glad. I mean, he wanted multiple photos.
Yeah, I mean, it is a pretty nice car, isn't it?
It's a really nice car.
Yeah, great finish. You come over that today, Stu, in the 3 Series?
3 Series, she's outside. She could do with a wash.
Yeah.
I think if she gets any dustier, someone's going to write something rude in the dust. Well. It's not far off that.
Okay. Well. Hopefully, we hope you've enjoyed this. I hope they've enjoyed it, Stu. Do you?
I do. We're trying.
Because honestly, the faff. I've moved my kitchen table. Yeah. I've moved everything so Stu can set up this. We've got a PC here. We've got a Starbucks precariously placed next to the monitor, which
there's
£1,000 worth of kit here, Stu. That could go up in.
There are green lights. We've really gone to town, and I hope people can look past the content and really appreciate the audio quality.
Absolutely.
Of this podcast.
Yeah. What we could do, I could jump to tweet some of this kit.
Yeah, definitely. Because I think a lot of people are going to be really interested in what we're using.
It really is the style of the show, isn't it? This setup.
Absolutely. We're just backseat to it.
Yeah. I think that. Do you want to play us out with something, Stu? There's not time. Oh.
It wouldn't take me long at all to just.
Okay, do you want to just play us out with a little bit of.
Maybe just, I can strum some chords and then we can just probably turn it down while I'm strumming some chord.
Okay, so shall I turn that? Okay, yeah. I'll do some thank yous over the top of this.
Right, okay.
Don't go. Thanks everybody for listening. It's been an experience. I hope you've enjoyed it. That's a bit loud actually, Stu. If you want to. We're going to be doing this every sort of 2-3 weeks, so keep posted. We're on Twitter at Comedy Roundabout, follow Stu Woodins on Twitter _ Woodins, and follow JPU89. Great, thank you very much. Bye bye.
I reckon we've at least got 5 minutes.
There's five minutes there. I quite enjoyed doing that.
Yeah, it got easier.
Yeah, it does. Didn't get easier. Yeah,
wouldn't you kind of realise? You get used to the banter a little
bit.
Yeah,
you do. You get in the flow. Lucinda, it's safe to come down now.
there were some bits that genuinely really made me laugh.
Yeah, I think you should actually laugh.
Yeah.
Rather than stop. Right, okay. Yeah. I think it might create an atmosphere. Actually, it might not. It might be.